Hey, everybody. Welcome to No Story is Sacred. If you've never listened before, basically we're four siblings who grew up talking about the art of storytelling. Now that we're adults, we're still talking about it, and we're inviting you to join the conversation. I'm Brendan, and I'm a space cowboy.
I'm Kat, and I want to be a space cop.
I'm Pippin, and everything's cooler in space.
And I'm Alex, and I wrote something about space.
I'm noticing a space theme
space
here.
Space theme. I wonder
space
why.
Space theme!
The reason why is that today we're talking about a story idea that Alex is working on called A Body in the Void. If you want specific content warnings about the things we may talk about, check out the show notes on nostoryissacred.com. The summary that Alex gave us is, Kara Navis is taking a voyage across the stars on a journey of self-discovery. Specifically, discovering herself as far away from the people trying to kill her. A former detective, she has been blacklisted for whistleblowing the corruption in her planet's police force.
Oh, yeah.
She's leaving her home on the first ship out of Dodge. The insert name here.
Truth and storytelling. Go on.
Listen. I had it on one of my other notes.
That's okay.
Where that note is a mystery.
It's in the void.
So she's in the void with the body. She's leaving her home for what?
Well, she's leaving to begin a new life. Presumably to get away from the people that have blacklisted her and probably trying to kill her.
Well, we don't know. We don't know yet.
We don't know yet. But starting over is harder than she thought.
Cliche one, Aria of the can.
It's harder than she thought when one of the crew members disappears.
Dun, dun, dun.
Now that she finds herself lost, with her instincts telling her to solve the mystery and her self-preservation telling her to lay low and let this stuff sort itself out. Until she finds out what to do, she's just a body in the void.
Womp, womp, womp. Nice. So, Alex, let's get down to brass tacks. What's your idea here? What's your impetus? What's the story, Morning Glory?
What are you feeling? How are you doing?
Well, basically, I wanted to write a space whodunit.
Fair enough.
Because, you know, why not? That is my inspiration here.
I'm thinking that you just want to have the pun space detective.
Is that a pun?
Instead of ace detective, yeah.
Oh.
Fair enough.
Bum-la-bum-ba-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum.
Well, to be specific, she is an ace space detective.
Is she an asexual space detective?
Yeah.
Oh, good, because when you said ace space detective, I was going to be really mad at you if it was anything else.
Yay!
I also set out very specifically for her to be that, to identify as asexual.
Is she aromantic or as well as asexual? What's her deal?
I think she is, you know, kind of gray in the romantic set.
Okay.
So, kind of film noir, in other words. Well, no.
Gray noir. Okay. Anyway, I thought it was funny.
I want you to know, though, that I was reading through your character descriptions, because listeners at home, we also got character descriptions, and I got down to the fop. And I was all like, I have no reason to, but I'm in love with him. and
you don't
also,
have a type, what?
Shut up. And then I decided that I ship him and Kara, but she's ace, so.
I think he should be in love with her, and she should be like, well, that's good for you. Yeah. Well done.
I'm freaking busy.
Thumbs up,
I'm in
buddy.
Love with you. Thank you.
Thank you. No. And like finger guns.
No, double thumbs up.
Yeah.
Sweet of you to say.
So, I guess before we go delving in here too much more, Al did actually provide us a list of characters. We just kind of mentioned two of them just now with Kara Navis and the fop. But let's go in through each of these characters that Al told us about. What do you guys think?
Sure, but I'd like Alex to do it, just because I think that we might get an idea of where he wants the story to go based on how he describes the characters.
That's fair.
I think it'd be fun if he does the characters and then we respond.
I love it.
I might make fun of them. What?
What? Hey.
Wow. I love you, and I love them, too.
This sounds like a confrontational environment, and I'm not sure it's healthy.
Listen, you can fight. Take this outside.
Actually, Pip, quick question.
Alex, yes.
Have I actually gone into detail about a body in the Voidhood with you before? Because I know I've talked Brennan Cat's ears off about it.
Wow.
Ha ha. Loves us more.
In which case, exclusion. I feel fucking left out.
Well, you know, that's why we're here. That's why we're here. We're going to let you have the first crack at least the first character. Alex, what's that first character?
God damn it.
The first character, obviously, is Kara Navis, ace space detective, right there first line. Cautious and still a little in shock, but not yet jaded. She is unsure if she should solve the murder and risk getting attention to herself. She does, though. Otherwise, no story.
Well, yes. Yeah. The protagonist.
Yes.
Oh, God.
She's ace, which is amazing. She's ace and ace. She's aces. I know it mentions in the summary, you know, that her self-preservation is telling her to lay low, but she clearly doesn't have any.
No.
She whistleblowed the world police force.
Well, here's the thing. And she didn't do it evidently through what must be the regular channels, because otherwise she wouldn't be running away.
Yeah.
Unless the conspiracy goes down deeper.
Ooh, yeah.
But that goes into my thing, so.
Okay.
Yeah. Bren, thoughts?
I'm just kind of imagining, you know, like you said, an ace detective, you know, space detective. I think it'd be a kind of fun viewpoint character, almost like a Murder on the Orient Express setup, potentially. So we'll see.
Fun fact: I've never read Orient on the Murder on the Orient Express.
I should. I actually did. I Kat, did I buy the that book, or did I grab a random different random Agatha Christie?
I believe you picked up a different random Agatha Christie, but this does remind me, if we're going to talk space whodunits, have you read Myrrh Lafferty's Six Wakes?
I haven't.
I should.
It's fabulous. It's got a different thing going on. It's about clones, death, and who murdered the previous round of clones. Was it themselves? There's nobody else on board. It must have been one of us, but who?
Is that the one with the image of bodies floating around space?
Yes, it is.
And one sort of hitting up against...
The cover, I remember, is just, like, a random fucking body.
Did you read the book that you're telling us to read?
I read the first several chapters, and then it bummed me out.
Oh, fair enough.
But it was great. And it's currently up for, like, a nebula. And what I'm saying is, people want space whodunits. Because that's what that is.
It's taking Locked Room Mysteries to the next level.
The next fucking level.
Locked Bulkhead Mysteries.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Locked Airlock. Wait, that's kind of redundant.
Airlocked Mysteries.
Airlocked Mysteries. New genre term.
I'm glad we could come together and figure this out.
I was listening to our previous episode. We had Cyberpink. Now we have Airlocked Mysteries. I'm loving it.
Yeah, which is actually... brings us to our next character, because it is Hector, the dead guy.
Hi, dead guy!
Miss the body!
First mate slash co-owner of the ship that they're on.
Okay.
Old space salt that would go do spot repairs on the ship between faster than light jumps. So imagine, like, the old guy, the comms array is malfunctioning. I'll just hop out and put it back into the position and be right back.
Use some duct tape?
Yeah.
So he is a dead guy at this, because in your summary, he's just missing.
Yes, but he is dead.
That's like the Act One twist, Kat. Come on, jeez. Yeah,
spoilers abound, people.
For the book you have not yet written.
Yeah.
I think that's not even an Act One twist. I feel like that's an end of chapter one twist.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, because you gotta be straight off. This is a murder mystery.
Yeah. Mainly because, they don't know where he is, and then they find out, oh wait, he got airlocked.
Womp womp.
Mm-hmm. And everyone thinks, you know, doing one of his, you know, unplanned, unsupervised spacewalks, what did it him? But clues say otherwise.
Clues.
So the ace detective, suddenly spots something out of the ordinary, and that kicks off the mystery.
And she's got to be like, oh man, do I say nothing? Well, that means one of us is a murderer and I'm saying nothing. Or do I make a fuss and then draw everybody's attention to me?
She has a history of making a fuss.
She does have a history, but was she right to make the fuss? She was right at the time. Her instincts are good. Her self-preservation, though, as you point out, not that hot.
Well, not that high, but probably a little cautious.
Now she's a little cautious. But is she too cautious?
Burn me once.
Is she having, like, the Hamlet problem of, like, oh, man, is it a ghost of my dead dad? Or is it a demon? What do I do? He spends the entire play not doing anything.
Until he does too much.
Too much.
Too much.
The thing I'm kind of wondering about with Hector here is whether or not we ever have time with him alive.
A couple of scenes, you know, enough to establish, hey, this is a jolly old guy. Would be a shame if he died.
I don't know. I'm a big fan of, I hate to say it, like, if the point of the story is the, you know, the murder mystery, I don't mind it if, like, there's just suddenly a dead fucking body. That's the way a lot of the Golden Age ones started, and you discover about the person as the story unfolds.
Oh, true.
You discover who they were having the affair with, who's secretly related.
You get a picture, and you have to be the detective and draw a picture based on what everybody's saying, as opposed to your own
the
impression.
Deductions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the reader can make their own impression, I mean, obviously we're in control of everything they think and do, but the reader can make their own impression if you introduce the character ahead of time. If you don't, then they are entirely dependent, much like the detective, on everybody else's descriptions.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you, Al.
Yep.
How often would Hector, like, make a video journal or his day? Audio logs, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think? They're kind of like narcissistic technology and avoid them at all costs, thus making everything more difficult?
Part of his backstory, which isn't included in these notes, is that he was former space military.
Oh, man, I was so close in my...
He makes them, but not out of narcissism, but out of, making end-of-day reports.
Fair enough.
Okay. But even then, you can get a lot of information, a lot of clues given to the audience based on that information.
But are those locked? Ooh. Who can unlock
dun, dun,
it?
Dun.
Only the captain. Well, wait. Depending on what the captain decides to do, and then does that mean that they're guilty? Nah. I love murder mysteries. I'm sorry. I fucking love murder mysteries.
We should rewatch Whimsy.
Yes! Okay, anyway. that's Dorothy Sayers, Peter Whimsy. I suggest everybody read all of them.
We have protagonist and our dead guy. And really, that's all you need.
Well, presumably you need at least one more person to be the murderer.
Unless the protagonist was the murderer.
Twist!
Dun, dun, dun.
Which was not the twist, but that was the great mystery of Six Wakes, which was that maybe the protagonist was the murderer. Who knew? You don't know what your clones did previously? Fuck it.
Right,
so who's the next character? Next dramatis personae?
Next, we have Noctua, captain / co-owner of the ship.
All right, so there's Hector and Noctua?
Yep.
Okay.
Exiled princess turned merchant.
Lover.
Pippin has just decided she loves her already, just because.
Yep.
I'm sorry, keep going, Alex.
Right. Exiled space princess turned merchant sea captain. Space captain, I mean. Commands the respect of the crew and the passengers. Favors going back for the body.
All right, what's this about going back for the body?
Let me chime in here, Kat. Correct me if I'm wrong on this, Al, but I think it has to do with the fact that the body got airlocked while they were going faster than light. So it's like doing a U-turn while going 100 miles an hour.
Well, why not just leave it the fuck out there? I mean, it's just a body.
That's a question, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Do you want to weigh sentimentality versus practicality?
It's just that this popped up over and over in your character descriptions as, like, a major thing. Why is it... I don't know. Why is it such a huge thing to get the body or not get the body?
It serves as both... Okay, can we make a list of suspects based on what they want to do with the body? And really, that's kind of useless because a murderer might say, hey, let's go back for the body to hide the fact that they did it. Or they could say, no, let's not go back to the body to, hide a clue that's probably on the body. But what it also mm-hmm. serves to do is also just, it's also a character thing, you know, what are their beliefs, for, you know, vis-a-vis, you know, the dead, you know, eh? Do they want to show respect, like, for the dead, or do they respect the dead in their own way? Hey, like, it's something, you know, I can cut if it's, mm-hmm. you know, if you have a problem with it, but it's also just, it's, you know, something that I did for myself.
Well, I think the more practical thing is that it's a literal just body floating out there in the middle of nowhere. If they just land somewhere, they'll lose track of it. I mean, it's a body floating out there in space. Mm-hmm. Hard to track that stuff.
Boundless and infinite. Also, because of relativity, that body could be weeks away.
Oh, yeah, the further away they get.
Yeah.
The longer... Oh, there we go. The longer they wait to decide, the further away it gets.
Yeah, that's...
Okay.
Oh, I think you wrote something about that, right?
Did you?
I forget.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was under Hector, because of the vastness of space and relativity, he spent a few days drifting through space until his life support ran out.
Grim.
That's a bad way to go.
Grim. Yeah. God damn.
Or maybe there might be clues on the body.
Oh, yeah.
So it's because they don't know what happened.
Or perhaps, you know, his distress signal.
Ooh. Maybe he had one last log entry.
Cryptic warning.
Ooh. Mm.
Cryptic warnings are the best warnings.
Or you could, like, see, if nothing else, his diagnostic. Like, if it just sort of conked out, then that would suggest that maybe he went unconscious for some reason. If it suddenly spiked, it means that he was scared because someone was attacking him.
Like, all sorts of reasons.
So, ignore my current issue then. Let's say it's one of those background things that it's something that you're focusing on just to get a handle on what's happening, and it's definitely an issue, but what's going on with the next character?
Wait. I had something I wanted to say about Noctua.
Yeah.
The space princess captain.
I had something I wanted to say about her before you rudely jumped in.
Oh, I'm sorry.
With your actual issues with the story. And questions you want answered. I need everyone to know.
That you're in love with her?
That when I picture... She's lovely and I love her. and when I picture Noctua in my head... Have you ever seen Treasure Planet?
No.
Oh, her.
I can see is Captain Amelia.
She has that kind of aura, but she isn't a waifu.
Quick question. Is she in disguise?
Right, yeah. Do people know that she's a princess?
She doesn't hide it. She's been in exile for, like, I think 30 years now.
Why was she exiled?
Ooh.
You see, I kind of pictured her being, like, almost like a punk aesthetic.
Ooh.
I pictured her with a tail.
Like the shaved, like half the head.
You know, undercut.
I kind of want an undercut. I think I could pull it off.
I think you could too.
Yeah.
You know what? Do what makes you happy.
She's been a space captain for like, 20 years or so. You know, she went into business together with
Hector.
Yeah.
Was Hector from her homeworld? Was their love forbidden?
I think he was her man at arms or something.
Is she heartbroken
now? The Steiner to her Garnet.
Okay, no. They knew each other because they met at the space yard. They were each looking to buy a ship. Individually, they couldn't afford to get one.
Because having no money sucks.
Yeah. Ships are expensive.
Yeah. Hector had, you know, the entirety of his, you know, pension, but that would get him a beaten up greaser, which, you know, wouldn't suit with his, you know, ambitions. And Noctua had what she could get, what she was able to take with her during this time of the coup.
You know what, though? If it's a coup, you know what that means.
There could be,
Restoration to the front. Oh, yes, that's a possible. That's a possible plot point.
Indeed, which is why I think that she should be in disguise. And then it's a revelation.
See, I was going with something else. I was going with maybe one of the other characters is actually a member of the current government of that former planet.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
Tying up loose ends.
Oh, the classic.
Man, y'all went all in on the exiled princess bit, whereas I just looked at that and went, I'm in love with her. And I moved on.
I tend to make the characters that you love the most, huh?
I just love them so much.
All right. So we have our. Are we done with our in exile, possibly disguised, possibly not? We're not sure yet. Space princess, merchant captain. Okay, yeah. Co-owner of this ship.
Yep, and we get to the third co-owner.
Jesus. Okay,
it's an lots expensive of co-owners. Ship.
If you wanted quality, able to, like, do long and space jumps with lots of cargo.
Yep.
Actually, a quick aside before we go back to this second-in-command character here. What kind of ship is it?
Oh, good question.
Is it like a... Like a large freighter type of ship? Is it like a light freighter, usually takes on passengers?
Is it a courier?
Is it Serenity? Is it the Millennium Falcon?
It's the Warhammer.
For those who don't know, the Warhammer is actually a ship from our parents' book.
The Mage Worlds.
The Mage Worlds. The blue ones.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
To get a quick mental image of it, I think the Warhammer was what, like, about the size of like the Defiant from Deep Space Nine.
Yeah,
I think that was like the quickest.
How big is the Defiant?
I think a mix of the Defiant and the Millennium Falcon. Just
yeah. Like if they had a baby,
the Frisbee style.
Wait, the Warhammer was a Frisbee?
Yeah.
Huh. I always imagined it as your classic UFO shape.
Okay, actually, it's my mind's eye of the Warhammer.
Fair enough.
Which wasn't that shape. It was, think of it as more as a ugly tin can shape.
So, I mean, are you talking about the satellite of love from from Mystery Science Theater?
Or are we talking like the Bebop from Cowboy Bebop?
Closer to the Bebop, but with the satellite of love's hull.
Oh, wow. That is a junker.
Right? But despite its looks, it's ugly as sin, but it holds a good amount of cargo, and it gets you where you need to go.
It may not look like much, but she's got it where it counts.
Yes.
Wow.
No, that's a quote about the Millennium Falcon, dude. Don't blame Brendan for Han Solo being, like, super creepy.
Listen, I just need everyone to know that Han Solo didn't deserve Princess Leia.
That's okay. She knew that, too.
Yeah, he was lucky. But no, listen.
He really was.
My spaceships have a fuck ton of rivets and are just plated all to fuck.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Ah, cool. All
right, I like it.
All right, so anyway, sorry for the diversion there. Let's go to that Robor.
No, it's an important question because it does tell you a lot about the purpose of the ship, the purpose of why they're traveling from point A to point B, which may end up being important as to why dude got shoved out in airlock.
Yeah, why he feels that it's totally appropriate to hop out during faster than light jumps. Also, just for people, so people understand, it's not in the middle of faster than light transit. Is during the in-between times when repositioning in between jumps.
Yeah, I get that.
Because you make one big jump, then course correct for about an hour. Well, the computer has to crunch all those numbers.
The nav computer's never right the first time, except it always is. You should always listen to your nav computer.
Yeah.
Except for that one time when it isn't right. Yeah.
And the air jets take like 5 minutes as to move 1 inch each time.
Air jets.
Look, space mechanics are real weird.
They're extremely weird. It's like fluid dynamics, but worse.
Yeah.
Because you have to take into, apparently, I asked about this once, you have to take into account the fact that gravity is fucking you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also have to make sure that you don't run into a pebble and in doing so, splatter yourself across, 500 light years.
Pebbles.
Otherwise known as a big oops.
Yeah.
All right. So we know about the ship. We know about, it occurs to me that the listener does not actually know what the Warhammer did. So this is a mix of courier slash, but mostly, cargo.
Freighter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Minimal weaponry, but mostly speed to get you where you're going. Okay.
Yeah, a big engine.
Okay.
So that it could run away from the fights that it wasn't really equipped to win.
Yeah.
All of them.
Listen, it could do a little bit.
All right, next character.
Right, next character. Robur, second in command / co-owner of the ship. Former playboy, but still charming. Makes the deals and books the passengers. Favors leaving the body.
Do you know who did it?
Yes.
Ooh.
Did Robur do it? Because I feel like he's the obvious choice.
I think he's the obvious choice for a reason, Pippin.
Listen, I fell in love with all these characters except for Robert. I was like, no, I don't like him.
Look, you might as well name him Red. Last name, Herring.
My name is Herring.
That's a Scooby-Doo reference.
That's a pup named Scooby-Doo reference, friend.
Yeah, buddy.
That's beautiful, and I support you.
I originally wanted to make him the guy who did it.
We can't be too obvious.
Can't be too obvious. But again, sometimes it can be that obvious.
I mean, to be fair, over the course of writing the story, it could be that, you know what? Maybe if he didn't directly do it, he didn't stop it. You know, maybe that could have been his thing.
Look, the butler does it twice a day, so.
But no, in other background character detail, he was also in the space military with
Hector?
Yeah.
Ah. They were in love! Sorry.
Well, that could be the reveal as to how Robur wasn't the one who did it.
Blah, blah, blah. Oh,
maybe that's why he's a former playboy.
You know, he's just been in his room getting drunk since it happened. And she thinks that maybe that's a sign of his guilt. It's not, though.
Oh, no. But he's also, you know, a fair few years younger than Hector.
I'm sorry. Are you saying that they could not be in love?
What? No, I'm just saying that Hector joined the military when he turned 18, and Robert joined the military when he ran out of money.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's... Why is he a third owner? Why are there so many fucking owners? Can't he be a hired hand, or...?
Because it was his idea, the ship. He convinced Hector, hey, let's get a ship.
Oh, okay. So they knew each other before Princess showed up.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's their equivalent of opening a sports bar together.
Aww.
Yeah.
I bet he says princess in the most annoying tone.
I love it.
Yeah. And the reason why she's captain is because she's majority owner.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So there could be tensions there, though. She's majority owner, but like these other two guys. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Also, I feel that as a former princess, she has some experience being in charge.
Yeah.
Of course.
Also, as space military, they also had experience being in charge. So.
Yeah, but I love her most, so.
All right. So we have Robert, we have Hector, we have
Noctua.
Thank you, Space Princess. We have okay, next.
We have Mechanic. Listen, I got tired of looking up names.
Fair enough.
That's fair. Fair enough. Yeah, you haven't written this yet, so go for it. Yeah.
Mechanic, Chief Mechanic. Keeps ship in repair. Wishes that Hector would not jury-rig anything he comes across.
That's true. So Hector's fucking around not because he's an owner, not because it's actually his job.
Yeah. Well, like, for a few years, they couldn't afford to hire a full crew.
Was the engineer hired by Noctua?
Maybe.
Look, you gotta protect your investment.
And you know what? Like, I'm sorry, Hector's not a real engineer.
Say that to his face, his cold, dead face.
I was about to say.
But also, I know other character details about with the relationship, so, you know.
That's okay, because you know what we're here for? To fuck up your story, too. Anyway, keep going.
A by-the-books mechanic only does repair in either a planet side or in a space dock.
You know, the safe way.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes that's not possible, though.
Regulations have provisions for emergency situations.
Oh.
He has had this argument with people before.
He is prepared.
He has had this argument with Hector before. But favors going back.
Oh, okay.
But still worried about, the engine had been running squeaky this time. Can I risk this?
I'm betting by the end of the story, this is kind of me kind of chiming in with story ideas here. By the end of the story, that mechanic's going to have to do a last minute jury rig fix of the ship.
Anytime otherwise, you're like, yeah. Sorry,
yeah,
go on.
Yeah. That's the mechanic.
Okay.
Medic. Medical robot. Programmed for efficiency and confidentiality, has no opinion on leaving the body or not.
The medic did it.
The medic did it, yeah. Why is the medic a character?
Because the medic has a secret. That a medic is autonomous.
Ooh. Did the medic come with the ship?
Metabot, our latest model from Pharmatech, comes with general practice, with some surgery, and therapy, all in one.
Ah, it's a therapist.
Aw.
You have emotional distress.
I'll help you. Go out there, Luck.
Yeah.
What?
Whoa.
Here's the thing. In my head, I was thinking of Baymax.
Yes.
Because Baymax will give you a hug, because Baymax recognizes emotional trauma as a thing that you will need medical care for. So I was thinking about Baymax, and then you told me to walk out the airlock, and I was like, Baymax would never do that to me.
How do you know? Yeah. Maybe that's what you mean. Because
Baymax loves me.
Right. Spoiler warning, it wasn't the medic.
Okay. But okay, so his secret is that he's autonomous. If he came with the ship, like, you know, he was pre-installed.
Yeah, I'm almost picturing it was the ship's, like the doctor in a Voyager.
Mm. I always think it's the doctor.
Yeah.
I figured you did.
Basically, I have the character here, medic here, for Kara to realize, hey, you're autonomous. I can pressure you to slip your confidentiality to give me a clue about who actually did it.
All right. Although, I will point out, the definitions of autonomy are different. Science fiction versus what we're actually doing with autonomous stuff.
Yeah.
That's why it's fiction.
Shut
you mean
face.
It's like sapient and has free will and such?
Yes. That's my meaning.
Okay. It's a murder bot.
No, yes.
It's Murderbot 3000. Get it right.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. If it wasn't, didn't have free will, it could have been like programmed by the murderer to have put the person into the airlock or something.
Actually, if it's autonomous, you can still do that, which is like autonomous as opposed to free willish, if that makes sense.
So to crack my language, he is a robot with free will.
Hooray!
Okay. Huzzah!
But not all robots have this, and it's a touchy issue, so he keeps it a secret.
Okay.
Well, I imagine that in most societies, due to certain unfortunate things that happened, they probably clamp down on free will robots a lot.
It's just never a good idea. The humans get weird, the robots get weird, everybody just gets weird.
Everyone keeps on watching Black Mirror.
Anyway, next character?
Next character. We have the Navigator. Maintains course and speed. It wants to be fleshed out a little more. Favors.
Yeah, he does.
Favors leaving the body, but says she can plot it easily.
Yes, she does.
But says she can plot it easily if the decision is made now.
There you go.
Do you know how many million miles we've traveled in the course of the last 20 seconds?
I want her to just be sitting there tapping her foot, being like, every once in a while, just throwing out there, like, it's another million miles. I'm just saying.
Anything interesting about the Navigator, or is she needing a bit more detail?
She wears a cool hat.
Sounds good.
She was there to have more characters.
Is she a new hire, or has she been with the ship for a while?
She's relatively new.
Okay.
Okay.
Does she have any, like, we have that sort of weird triumvirate going on. Does she have any loyalties to one or the other?
She was actually hired by Hector. So it comes out really odd that she would just, say, leave him behind.
Okay.
Hey, she's practical. She's a spacer.
Yeah.
Maybe she's a space enough to space someone else.
Ooh. Dun, dun, dun.
Next guy.
Your favorite?
Yeah.
We have the fop. He's accompanying his furniture to his own private moon.
He's an asshole.
Absolutely slumming it on this voyage. Favors going back for the body.
Why?
Because he cares about people.
Absolutely dreadful, don't you think? And my schedule's free. I'm rich. Well, but not in the notes, but he has a reason.
Did he do it?
No.
Yay! Was he in love with Hector?
No, this is actually details that aren't in my notes, but are kind of still too loose for me to actually set in stone.
Mm-hmm.
They're in your brain.
It's in my brain, man!
He's not just transporting his furniture. He's transporting a space MacGuffin.
Ooh, space MacGuffins.
I was really worried that the sentence was going to end with people and I was going to have to fall out of love with them.
No,
that's what Soylent Green is, don't worry.
Part of the background, there is a item of space sovereignty significance that is supposed to be transported in this huge convoy.
Oh. Is he a false flag?
He is transporting it by secret.
Is it the sort of thing that if the space princess were to know about it, it might help her regain her throne?
Dun, dun, dun.
Just might.
Ooh.
But it's also a thing of you know, worth a fuck ton.
Always interesting.
You know, we have political intrigue or money.
Or both!
Political money.
Is it the situation where the FOP stored it, say, like, on an external bulkhead of the ship, so it was really well hidden, and Hector, on his spacewalk there, managed to discover it?
Or maybe Hector knew about it all along.
Because Hector knows all.
Yeah.
I feel really bad.
And then
for
he
Hector.
Died.
So his reason for going back is actually to see if Hector had a clue about the whereabouts of the item. Because, hey, it's also missing.
Oh, maybe it was a really small item, and he wonders if Hector had it on his person. Because they had a fight about it.
Ooh.
I'm picturing that Hector would know exactly the significance of the Space MacGuffin.
Yeah.
Well, he knows a lot of things, you know. He's the fix-it
and
guy.
And he fought a war about it.
Ooh.
Oh, wait, yes. Yeah, who were they a military of? What was the war? Why are they out of it? Like, what's...
You know, details, background, information...
Stuff.
That were,
spoilers.
That may have been in my initial creative writing assignment. Maybe, you know, her father was the evil space overlord that everyone hated.
Ooh.
And maybe she would go, yeah, that's the way they reported it. You know, so political intrigue that may be fleshed out later.
Excellent. Maybe she's in hiding because people think that the evil apple doesn't fall far from the evil tree. And she's all like, no, I just want to go do my own thing.
Yeah. Maybe she is, you know, given up her throne. She's lived a full life.
Maybe she's called in exile, but it was like she's the one who left. She wasn't forced out.
Maybe she wants to stay in exile, but everybody else wants her to come back, and they will do whatever it takes to put her back on the throne.
They didn't exile me. I exiled them.
Mm. But, you know, details that may have been in... notes from a long time ago.
All right, are we done with characters? Is that the whole kit and caboodle?
I think there's a couple more.
There are two more.
All right, so passengers, not crew.
Yeah.
Okay.
The collector, a weirdo, collects old world trinkets and memorabilia. Favors leaving the body. Another character that's just there to
add more suspects.
Yeah.
Yeah. That way, the mystery is not too easy to solve.
Mm-hmm. Like eeny, meeny, miny, you.
It's not me. It's not the dead guy.
I just have my collection of spiders.
But no, Brian, he totally collects space. But this guy totally collects old Earth figurines, anime figurines. favors leaving the body.
Okay, wait. Quick question. Yeah. Where are all these people going? What is the destination that all of these people...
Canterbury.
Alright. Like, that this is their final destination.
Yeah.
Like, that both the cop and the fop and the collector and whoever else you've got going on, this is where they're going.
Basically, there is a big divide between habitable systems.
Okay.
And Kara is on the first ship that's going across this divide.
Wait, the very first ship?
The first ship that she can book.
Available.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, so they're gonna go... So she's gonna go to a spaceport and... then hitch another ride somewhere else.
Yeah, she is...
Okay.
She's just going to keep on going until she runs out of plants that she can go to.
Oh my god.
That's what allows her to be a wandering detective.
Okay.
For possible other books. You know, in case, I want to serialize this at any point ever. But no, the FOP's private moon is just a bit out of the way. You know, you don't have to worry about anything. But no.
Well, if he's paying for it, they'll go there.
Yeah. And he has fuel on planet, so, you know.
He has what?
Fuel on the moon.
Oh, fuel. Sorry.
It really makes no matter to them.
Mm-hmm.
No, anyways.
And who's the last character?
Our last character is a space monk. She preaches that the universe is all one, has no magic powers.
Okay.
Favors going back for the body. She is totally a Jedi, but without the Force.
Oh, so she's space crazy.
Space crazy.
She's a space Franciscan, basically.
So she's been in the radiation too long.
Yeah.
Okay.
But probably tries to do the spiritual driving towards getting the body.
Yeah, and maybe a comedy scene at some point. Aren't you space monks supposed to have powers? Yes, we are! And tries to do a four-horse pull or something, and nothing happens.
I'd stay away from the comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, duh.
That's That's something for your drafting when you're like feeling desperate and you're like, I gotta make a joke. Otherwise I will kill every character in this story.
Yeah.
I think you'd have a lot more fun just like with the navigator being much more cut and dry, or the medic being a medical robot having philosophical arguments with a crazy space monk. Mm.
I always like villainous monks. I think that they're a lot of fun.
Then she could be a space Benedictine. Whatever. Catholic humor.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay, so quick question. These are all our characters. We have a starting point. They have started in the spaceport on one side of the universe, let us say.
The habitable universe, yeah.
That is conveniently also where our main character, Kara, needs to get the hell out of.
Yeah.
They are heading towards the other end of a different habitable universe, where there's yet another spaceport, and people will go their ways. The ship will continue on with the VOP, let us say, but Kara's next up. She just has to get to the other spaceport. She doesn't need to care about the rest of these fuckers.
I'm almost picturing this other port being like the space equivalent of Tortuga or something. It's just, you know.
I was thinking DS9.
Oh, see, that's nice.
Same diff. Oh,
yeah. Well, but like, so, like, this could be another aspect of her, like, really having to consider whether or not this is worth her getting involved in.
Yeah.
She just has to make it to this other port, and she can be well done with all these people.
Yeah.
She probably has a friend out there.
Oh, yeah.
She could just leave it to the other space police.
There you go. The space police who aren't in trouble.
The corrupt space police who can easily be bribed and all
them.
That she helped expose.
Mm-hmm. It is their problem. Except...
That pesky, having to solve crimes.
A mystery?
Like, maybe she's avoiding it at first, but then she, like, sees a clue.
What if people keep talking to her? She's like, I don't want to be involved. And then they
how well known is she as a great detective? Is she like a celebrity, or is she kind of like under the radar currently?
She's currently under the radar. She was an anonymous whistleblower, but that worked super well.
I would love it if actually she was like the carport hero. She was like, she was known as a detective. They don't know why she's running, but it would be really great if she's like trying to leave that life behind. And meanwhile, everybody keeps coming up to her being like, you know, I think the medic did it.
That shifty-eyed robot.
Yeah.
Dude.
And then the puppet can be like, oh, yeah, that's your whistleblowing. What? It was in all the papers.
What papers? Yeah, the FOP knows a lot more political dealings than he lets on.
FOPs always do.
That's why I love him.
Yeah, and of course, and the captain. Because as a princess in exile, she still keeps her nose close to...
Nose to the... Yeah.
Well, also, she's captain. You gotta keep an eye on who you're bringing on board.
Yeah. And of course, our dead guy knows, but, you know, not that it matters to him anymore.
Or did it?
Basically, everybody knows.
Everybody knows.
But they're also all pretending not to know because...
Politeness.
Politeness, and also because they think they have it under their hat.
Oh, so they think they're the only one who knows.
Do you think you're the only one with secrets?
Oh.
Tropes.
Okay. All right, so Alex, I realize this is perhaps a little bit against the idea of murder mysteries, but I gotta say, who done it?
Yeah, that's my first question as well.
I didn't want to be the one to ask, so...
Oh, I have no shame.
Because here's the thing, when we're going into a mystery story here, from page one, as the writer at least, you have to have at least an inclination of who done it from the beginning, because anything you write in a mystery, if you're setting up a mystery, anything you write can and will be construed as clues to who done it.
Honestly, I think it was Mom who said that you have to know what the ending is, and then you work the mystery inside out.
Mom said that you had to plot it backwards, yeah.
Yeah. You know the solution, so from that point, the only person who doesn't know anything is your main character.
Kara, yeah.
You, though, you have to know everything.
It's the monk.
Ha ha! Space crazy monk.
It was the monk. Oh. Son of a bitch.
Man.
Why?
Because she's not actually a monk.
She's just space crazy?
No, she's not space crazy.
She is part of the military that Brent got it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Listen, for the longest time, it was going to be Rober.
Rober.
Mm-hmm.
But then it kept on being too obvious.
Yeah.
No, again, Rober, Robert, whatever, Robert, he seems like a nice target. Again, you can't play the hand too strong, but he seems like a nice focus for the reader to be like, huh, what the hell does he do on this ship? The captain is obvious. Hector was obvious. Everybody else has the role. He just seems to talk to people, but then it's like, over the course of the story, when he gets revealed to, you know, maybe he and Hector were in love. Who knows? But yeah, that it's kind of revealed that, you know, the being the face of the ship is the full-time job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He has to negotiate, you know, the deal, who's, you know, the cargo we take, who we take on. And, you know.
He does outreach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm the charming face of this operation. You want to know some details? I can connect you to who you need to talk to on the ship.
Yeah.
Can the FOP and Robert try to out-charm one another?
Oh, they'll try.
And Robert wins.
No, the FOP wins. Fuck you all.
The FOP gracefully steps out, knowing that he wins in his soul. However, to give face to Robert.
The one thing I do kind of picture, though, is the FOP just being kind of a political wheeler and dealer, is trying to use the death of Hector here to his advantage. Because he knows the details on pretty much everybody on board. So maybe he's trying to not only succeed with his mission with this MacGuffin item, but also maybe advance his station in life a little bit more because he has an opportunity.
Okay, wait. So the crazy lady, Space Monk, is the one who killed it. Why, though? I know you said that she's military. Why Hector? What does she gain from this?
Because he saw her stealing the Space MacGuffin.
Okay, and how did she know about the Space MacGuffin?
She'd been tailing the FOP since, like, 2 months ago.
All right, so the FOP wants to be a political hero, but is not terribly good at it.
Leave him alone!
Listen, it was very well coordinated.
Uh-huh.
I mean, in the backstory, it was a total Ocean's 11 moment. I mean, it was brilliant.
Oh, you all can't handle him.
And listen, he has his good points. He knows what he's doing. He worked so hard.
I hate you guys. The FOP and I are going to run away together. We're going to be very happy.
He could have gone to Space Yale, but he chose to go to pursue his academics. Sure, there was maybe a sizable donation in on his parents' behalf, but he chose.
Aww.
Oh, you guys suck.
Anyways.
Okay. So should we go through and, based on what we know now, kind of
write our own stories?
Yeah. Yeah. But just so everyone knows, he saw her taking the thing. There was a struggle. Well, she got him in the head. She put him in a suit and she airlocked him.
Wait, why is she in favor of going back then?
Because she wants to avoid suspicion.
Huh. Is there any evidence? Like, is there evidence?
Yes, because the blunt force trauma to the head does not exactly match up with fully,
Oh, yeah, but is there any evidence that she did it?
There has to be.
There is, because he wasn't as dead as she thought.
Okay, here's my issue.
There is, but she doesn't know that there is.
There you go.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I'm sorry, it's a pretty dumb move to be like, no, we should totally go back. And then everyone's like, yeah, I agree. She's like, I was joking.
They called my bluff.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Also, it goes against the persona I've crafted.
Yeah.
I'm a space monk. I'm supposed to...
Mm-hmm. Maybe she thought there were more nays than there were yays, and then suddenly one of the nays flipped, and she's like, fuck.
Well, because she's going in assuming that everybody on board is a kind of practical spacer type. Mm-hmm. So not this band of, I wouldn't say brothers, but, you know,
sentimental fools, as she.
Oh, God. We will not have the evil voice.
You sentimental fools.
Yes. Once they do the evil voice, you know, it is too late for them.
Yeah. So she's probably banking on them being practical spacers, you know, a dead body in space, who cares?
Here's the thing. You can bank on that, sure, but I don't think it's... yes, she's space crazy. I don't think it's wise. I think that she needs to believe, at least on her part, that even if they pull the body, there is nothing to say that she's the one who did it.
I'd agree with that.
Or maybe going back buys her time, because she still hasn't...
Oh,
done whatever else she needs to do.
Oh, and then you can set up a false alibi. I love setting up false alibis. Not that I do it personally. What?
Because after she hit it, she tried to run back to where she hit it, and it's not there anymore.
Oh, that means somebody else is fucking around.
Yeah.
But who? All right.
The fop took it back. No.
You and your fop, man.
Listen, he's the best.
I like the navigator.
She strikes me as your type. Just being like, nope.
Nope.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Was that another couple million miles? Okay. Still talking, are we?
It's like that bit in that Star Trek comedy album. Like, every few seconds, they're like, we're another 10 million miles off course. All right, let's...
Who goes first?
So, Kat.
What? All right, my thing. Okay, you know what? Let's say we're going to keep your solution. Let's say we're going to keep the space person. Because actually, I believe that mysteries essentially have simple solutions. What's complicated is everything that gets in the way of solving that. So, for instance, you know, if you start with a simple thing, if you start with a simple problem, it becomes something that's really satisfying for the reader to get a grip on. So the simple solution is that Space Monk was set on board, or has been following Fop to take the MacGuffin.
Yep.
And honestly, it's just a matter of time. She's actually going to wait until she, this is part of her following. She had no intention of taking it now. They're in the middle of a fucking ship. It's a bad idea. Better to wait until after they've landed, steal like the night before, or steal it like as they're unloading, and then fade into the woodwork.
Yeah, pick his pocket and then just fade away.
This becomes an issue when Hector discovers the MacGuffin, and either he moves it or he's something about it. She has to become aware that she is not the only one. She and the Fop are not the only ones who know about this. Because that has to move up her timetable.
Mm.
So her timetable was previously leisurely. She's been working on this for months. This has to be really frustrating to suddenly have to come up with a solution that she was unprepared to have to come up with. So let's say Hector found it, whatever this MacGuffin is.
Yeah.
Hector goes to talk to the captain about it.
Ooh,
captain. No, wait, back it up. Fuck that noise. No. Better. Somebody else finds it. One of the Triumvirate, Robert. Robert finds it first. Because he's, you know, what the fuck does he do on board? I don't know. He goes around and checks the ship's manifest, like you do.
It's one of his jobs.
Well, it's how he gathers information. It's how he knows how much to charge people in the future. It's a database thing. It's one of those unspoken things he does.
He knows who he should send gifts to in their rooms to get repeat customers.
He
knows who not to bother with. He knows who to keep an eye on at the bar.
And frankly, yeah, he should know what's in their fucking hold. You know? Customs.
Mm? Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
You don't want to be caught being illegal. Like, just because it's one of your passengers, you're the one liable for it. Oh my god, I want him to be an insurance officer. Okay, so anyway. He finds it. He goes to tell Hector because they're tight and we're going to and there's relationships and whatever. That's all secondary to the easy puzzle. He tells Hector. Hector goes to fetch the item. He leaves with the item. Space Monk runs into him with it. And so she has a split second, the shit.
Oh shit. Oh shit.
And conks him on the head and you know, and that buys her a couple of minutes, but my god, what's she supposed to do? So here's the thing. So she takes the object, puts it back in the hold where it belongs. She can fix this, right? She can fix this. Stuffs Hector in a suit, because everybody knows that Hector goes out, and stuffs him out the airlock. He comes to, but he's too far away, and he dies.
Yeah.
You know, this makes Robert the last one known to see him alive.
Indeed. But also, Robert knows about the thing in the hold. So, Robert goes and gets the thing from the hold. So,
Robert has the MacGuffin.
Robert has the MacGuffin. Space Monk thinks that the MacGuffin is back where it's supposed to be. And so she is acting calm. She's like, I fixed it. There was a minor snafu, but this is fine. later in the story, when it's revealed that it's fucking gone again, this is when she's going to start cracking. And it's not going to go well. So from the outside, so we all know what happened. From the outside, though, Kara is in a position where she has to talk to all these people, theoretically, you know, if she decides to take the case. And everything they say, that's where the political stuff comes in, and the exile, and the fop who's pretending to be in love with her, and it's kind of annoying because she's busy. And
he is in love with her. It's just not going to work out.
I know.
Not the way he wants. They're going to be best friends, though.
They're going to separate when they finally ship the spaceport. It's going to be really awkward for him, and she's just going to be like, well...
It's been fun.
No, they're best... Listen, every detective needs their best friend to put things in perspective.
There you go. And, you know, she spent a while thinking that he was the bad guy and that maybe he was saying that she, you know, maybe he was coming onto her as trying to distract her, except too bad that won't fucking work.
In the meantime, he thought, like, why doesn't she like me?
Wait. You are actually being sincere?
Oh. I'm, thank you. Oh.
Put her there, buddy.
You're on my Christmas card list. So anyway, yeah, I like this. I like a simple, you start with the simple, and then you work in the complications. And as you're working back, you'll notice I started with, you know, the one character, the person you killed, and then from there extrapolated her actions. And every single one of those actions is going to look nonsensical without context from the outside. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't know that Hector and Robert are buddy-buddy, then it makes no sense why Robert would have the MacGuffin. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's context, and that's your job as the writer. Your job as the writer is to know the context of everybody's very logical moves. Everything that people do has to make sense. But from the outside, it's just a whole jumble of puzzle pieces. There, that's me. That's my philosophy behind mysteries.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Ooh, Brian, it's your turn.
Oh.
Man, Alex is taking fucking control.
Okay. So I think Kat had a lot of good points there with setting up why characters do things the way they do. So I'm not really going to change that part from what Kat was talking about.
Thanks.
Yeah. Hey. What I'm proposing here is... I want to be able to flesh out the MacGuffin and exactly how important it is, because it's a pet peeve of mine to just have the MacGuffin just be referred to as such while outlining. I want to know why it's significant, why it's important. So
the Space Tease Falcon. There we go.
I see what you're saying, though. I see what you're saying.
So the idea I was kind of tossing around off the top of my head here is that in the background... it has not been publicized yet, but the King of Space, TM or whatever.
Sorry.
The king or whatever, the monarch of this area of space has just recently passed. The FOP is one of the retainers in that whatever.
Oh, that's explaining why he has wealth and is foppish.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice. A distraction. The MacGuffin, I'm thinking, is actually, you know, kind of one of the ancient ways that you're able to essentially verify somebody from the royal lineage, because the king died without heirs.
Oh my god, is it a birthmark in the shape of a crown?
No, I'm thinking it's like a crystal glowy thingy, you know. It's still a MacGuffin. I mean, come on, but it's basically only going to react to like the DNA signature of the royal family line.
Well, I mean, but that would then have to imply that, I mean, that would make it essentially worthless for political shenanigans unless the political shenanigans are amongst family members.
Why, yes. Weird. Because the thing I'm setting up here is I'm thinking the MacGuffin eventually falls into the captain's hands, and that's, you know, kind of your Excalibur moment. because my pieces at the end of the story here is I'm just kind of picturing Kara and Robert doing a Sherlock Holmes and Watson thing on a ship they now own, thus kind of solving the thing I also want to try and solve is Kara's immediate problem, which is getting the hell out of Dodge. She doesn't want to do space taxis the rest of her life. So that's setting up why she goes from planet to planet. Well, if you are co-owner of a ship, say if you helped solve a mystery of murder followed by intergalactic succession, then hey.
Well, this would suggest that Crazy Space Lady is unaware of our captain's lineage.
Yes.
Because otherwise, this is... And that FOP is as well.
Space coincidence.
Yeah. Well, this is one of the things I was kind of struggling with, was I was struggling with whether or not magic, or you know, space magic, whatever, the Force, is an actual thing in the story setup.
I will confess to you now, I do not like space magic.
What has space magic ever done to you?
Midichlorians. Thank you and good night.
There's no space magic. There is space laser beam from, you can do laser beams from your eyes, but that's a purely biological whole thing of certain species.
Wait, are they all humans? Is this a human,
I'm imagining it's from old Earth. That was just kind of what I was picturing.
Yeah. So a human spacefaring society.
That's what I was picturing.
There's no aliens popping out of the woodwork.
I mean, there could be. Well, I mean, who knows? That depends on how much world building you feel like doing.
There's a snarf.
Snarf. So yeah, the other thing I was thinking about, Kat, because the FOP knows about the MacGuffin as well, and the space monk who done it also knows that the FOP knows, that means by the end of the story, Pip's going to hate me here, the FOP has to die.
Maybe the FOP can just be in mortal peril.
Or gravely wounded, and the medic gets to have a shining moment where they, you know, make a decision on their own or something like that. Because I think if the plot point is that the medic also has free will and autonomy and all that, maybe that can be their shining moment. They save the FOP.
So I like that as a very subtle nod. You know, the medic has to make a decision, has to choose.
Like, it gets directly ordered, maybe by the monk or something like that, to do some course of action. I don't know. But it exercises its free will to save the FOP's life or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, which could get him in trouble, but, you know, we all know that Kara's a fucking narc, right? But Kara, golly.
Damn it, I took an oath.
I'm not going to lose this patient. So yeah, those are a couple of my thoughts there. Basically, justify the MacGuffin a little bit.
Define,
yes. Because really, we want to know how important it is. Now, doing so in the course of characters talking with each other, that's tricky. It could be something that's... Maybe they just find out about the monarch's death mid-trip there. Like, while all this other crap's going on, oh, by the way, the monarch's dead and we have no proof of who is next in line. Maybe that kind of plants the fact that a MacGuffin item might be in play to the reader. you know what I mean?
I do. Actually, can I make a recommendation?
Shoot.
If you guys... So we were talking about Black Mirror earlier. If you guys haven't seen the most recent season's episode, Crocodile, it is a fantastic demonstration of building a mystery from the inside out.
But we all know I'm not actually going to watch it.
Well, you're not, but I'm going to make Alex do it.
Here's a mystery for you to study. I was just recently watching a Nerdwriter video. Talking about the mystery writing in The Prisoner of Azkaban.
Oh!
And kind of breaking down the mystery. How there's a lot of subtle clues, and that's, you know, that's why I was kind of intrigued by having a space mystery here, is that we can do a lot of clue hiding in the guise of science fiction world building, no less.
That's a classic thing. I mean, again, going back to Dorothy Sayers, you have hiding clues in the middle of introducing our character to what an advertising agency is, introducing our character to what a women's college is. Mysteries are great. Sorry.
All right. Well, every chance you have to have some clue be presented. The video did also point out, by the way, Al, if you're planning on writing the mystery here, is that we also have to be wary that the solution to the mystery doesn't feel like a cheat.
Mm.
Like,
can you talk further on that?
Well, basically, the clues were always there. We don't like omit key information from the reader, for instance. Like, oh, the detective noticed something, and it's like, oh, I'm not going to tell you, the audience. You get to be surprised later. Ha ha. It's like, if you're a really astute reader, you notice something that was there the entire time. The example in the video, for instance, was the fact that in Prisoner of Azkaban, early on in the story, we see what Lupin is afraid of, a silvery orb. As described in the book, it's just as that, a silvery orb. And then later you get to realize, oh, he's afraid of the moon, because that's, he's a werewolf.
Here's the thing. I don't know if other people feel this way as well. I'm a big one for, I like getting some of the mystery because that makes me feel clever, but I don't want to get all the mystery because otherwise I'd be like, well, why is the person I'm reading such a great fucking protagonist? I like getting part of it. So for me, I'm like, oh, Lupin's a werewolf. Figured it out. Ah, yeah. But when it turned out that Sirius Black was the, you know, was the dog, or no, that wasn't even it. When it turned out that the rat was, that Scabbers was...
Peter.
Was, yeah. Peter. That fucking shocked me to my core. That's when I started falling in love with the Harry Potter books. Because I'm like, God damn. And I didn't guess it. And I like being able to guess part of it and then getting that nice surprise.
Well, that's the thing. There's, I think even with the case of Peter Pettigrew there, there were little tiny hints about it earlier on in the story. But were just like hard to, you know, hard to spot if you just didn't know exactly what you were looking
for. You didn't have the context.
Yeah.
What?
That's the thing. Like, if you have the clues there such that if you reread and have the context for them, all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, my mind is blown.
That's why I felt so bad for all the kids watching the first Harry Potter movies, and they're all like, oh yay, Scabbers. I'm like, nah. And remember, there was a stuffed animals. There's stuffed Scabbers.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Were there?
There was. It was really cute.
Evil cute. All right. So that's me. Which leaves Pippin.
All right, so that does leave me. And I like everything that we've done so far. And so I was looking back at my vague sort of notes I did earlier before everything got so good. Though also before you guys started dissing the goddamn fop.
I love the fop too. I'll say it.
It doesn't seem like it.
I show my love by wanting to torture them. That's what... that's what authors do to their beloved characters. Stick them up a tree and throw rocks at them.
So what I was thinking earlier before all this was that that the corruption in Kara's home planet space police force went deeper than she even realized, which is part of why she was found out as a whistleblower, because someone leaked the shit out of that.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, she's running away, but she hasn't run fast enough.
Oh.
Or far enough. So actually, Hector gets killed. And I was thinking maybe it's because he was an ex-spy who maybe knows too much or was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I didn't think about it too hard. And then they frame Kara for it.
Nice.
Sort of punish her for whistleblowing and also try to take care of her in a less final one way than they took care of Hector. So, you know, two birds, one stone, only one dead body. And so that's part of why she needs to figure the mystery out to clear her name.
Mm-hmm.
And part of why she knows that running won't work at the end.
Mm.
That's pretty much what I had before this.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And after all of this, you have the character here of the Collector.
Oh shit, the Collector. We forgot about him.
Yeah.
Who's a weirdo who collects old world trinkets and memorabilia?
He would be able to identify it right off the bat.
He either identifies the MacGuffin. Maybe a transaction is happening on the ship. He either is selling the MacGuffin or is procuring it. Maybe he steals the MacGuffin. Maybe that's where it eventually ends up.
Maybe he finds out during the course of all this that the MacGuffin's on there. He's like, holy shit, I gotta get involved in this. And then suddenly there's a second murder.
Dun, dun, dun.
And it turns, and everyone's like, oh no, the murderer struck again. Nuh-uh. It was two different people for different reasons entirely.
Well, I don't like doing multiple murders in because then it's like just a process of elimination after.
Oh, but I love multiple murders because then it ups the ante. Who's next?
See, I was thinking maybe the space monk was taking care of the body before she put away the MacGuffin. And he comes across it while she's
busy.
While she's busy. And he goes, holy shit, look at this thing. And takes it.
There you go. Look what I found.
And that's why it's missing again. And yeah, and at the end, he's like, look at this.
How's the navigator tied to people, by the way?
Red herring.
Everybody's a red herring. Well, I just wonder if she has like an interaction with the collector somehow.
I wonder if she's also in love with Kara.
Everyone's in love with Kara. She doesn't understand.
You know, maybe someday the navigator and the fop will get together and commiserate and fall in love themselves. Still holding a torch, obviously, for Kara, but
I'm just picturing, yeah, again, as I said in my thing, I just kind of picture Kara and Rober doing a space Sherlock Holmes and Watson gig.
See, I have the fop as my Watson.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, if I was going to do that, I'd have the fop.
Bah.
Listen, Alex and I are twins. We have this connection.
I just like fops. I always think fops should be great second in commands. Actually, Pip, I'd like to go back a little bit. I agree completely. I think that there needs to be a better tie-in with her mystery. Her mystery should tie in to the overall one as well. And I think not just in terms of thematics or why she's there in the first place. I like the idea of there being someone after. I like the idea of her having come on board under a false name. She, you know, everybody's suspicious of her, and this is changing the previous plan of her being like the carport hero, and everybody knowing who she is.
I'm gonna admit I didn't like that part.
Oh, everybody knowing? Well, fine, fuck you. she says as she goes along with your change. But I like the idea maybe of her going under a false name because she's running away. She doesn't want to be followed. She is doing the first step in a multi-step getting the fuck out of Dodge. And doesn't it just figure that the very first step, something like this goes down? And everyone's like, we don't know much about you, do we, Kara, huh? Or, we don't know much about you, do we, Sam?
Ah.
Awfully suspicious. And then, you know, Robert shows up like, Sam's not her real name. What?
Da, da, da.
And then meanwhile, Kara's like, fine, I was actually a space cop. But Robert, you seemed awfully quick to reveal me. Where were you last Tuesday night?
I was on the ship.
Oh.
We all were on the ship.
We were all on the ship. We were all here.
Good point.
That's part of the problem.
Ace detective.
Yeah, so.
Aha. All right. Let's move on here.
Well, I think we're coming down to Alex. What do you think? Are you gonna write it?
I'm gonna have to write it.
Yay! Did you have a tack that you particularly liked?
You're allowed to say no.
Because I'd be like, nah, fuck y'all. I like my original plans.
Brent and Kat, yours were basic advice.
It was true. A solid idea. I like whodunit in space. You had the characters. You know who has done it. So, yeah. It was Pip who tried to betray you.
What?
Yeah.
How am I betraying?
Changing his story all up.
I was emphasizing a different part.
Anyway, so, what do you think your next steps are going to be?
Writing down things I like from this episode.
Excellent.
Fair.
Fair enough.
Then just get a solid structure.
Outline that shit.
As we pointed out before, going from the end back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then start writing.
Yay! Join me in my unending list of books to write based on this podcast.
Huzzah!
But do we have enough time for a game? A really quick one.
Yeah. I think just based on how we talked about characters a lot, I'm really kind of curious about adding a meta character as a character on the ship.
Oh, shit.
I was just looking at that, yeah.
So that is...
What's the name of that game?
A Special Appearance By.
Special Appearance By. All right, I'm going to go first.
Go for it.
I'm going to go for what could be considered a cheat. I would like to stick your average Golden Age detective, Peter Whimsy. Sticking him on there.
Nice.
He's historical, but we're going to pretend that... Actually, fuck it. No, he's historical. He's from the 1930s. He's pre-World War II, because he was in World War I, and, well, he's just not the same, is he, after World War I?
Did he get preserved in peanut brittle?
Yeah, he got preserved in peanut brittle. But he's shown up there, and don't you know... not only does he have to deal with the rigors of the future, but there's a fucking dead body too. Busman's Holiday, you can never get away from it. There, that's me. I want to stick him on there. I want him to be he and the fop, because he is a fop. This Pip, this is why you should read Peter Wimsey. He is a fop.
Fucking love fops.
I know. He's a Scarlet Pimpernel type.
My fop wants to be.
I know. Oh my god, he's trying so hard, and Peter just shows up and is like, oh my dear boy. Okay. Darling, you really must consider. Anyway, and I want him to do that while at the same time trying to keep his head above water. There. Nice. I think that'd be super awesome. That's a fanfic I'm going to write of your book, FYI.
Thank you.
All right. So I was thinking about how the fop is my favorite character for reasons I can't even explain, right? and then I was thinking of my other favorite characters. And, yeah, that made me think of my beloved Matt Murdock.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Except, and then I was like, well, I don't want to put Matt in that sort of situation.
I know who it is. I know who it is.
Because I'm not sure I trust him in that situation.
You're going to put fucking Foggy in there.
No, actually, oh. I'm not.
Oh, okay.
Claire?
Though he would be fucking amazing. So would Claire. But no, what I'm thinking is that there are the other defenders, one of whom is a private investigator.
Jessica.
So I'm thinking, what would Jessica Jones do?
Jessica Jones in space?
Be drunk and then punch someone's door down?
Oh my god, can you imagine her just suddenly transported to the future, looking around being like, well, fuck it, I definitely have to drink now.
She'd be drunk, she'd be belligerent, she'll get with the fop, she doesn't mind.
She does not mind about sloppy seconds.
And she will knock doors down and, put the fucking puzzle together.
Oh my god, but then everyone has to be like, not that door! Because of the airlock.
Oh, she's not that stupid.
Look, if she's drunk and belligerent and has not yet realized that she's on a ship.
If she hasn't realized she's on a ship, maybe. But I can see other people... I can see other people trying to throw her through the airlock and her going, what are you doing? Even I know this is a bad idea.
Oh my god. People keep hitting her on the head or something. The space monk tries some, you know, spiritual, you know, stuff on her, and she's like, no. Walk away now.
And she walks away.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
That's beautiful, and I love it. I like how we both went for detectives, too. We're like, let's just... Kara needs help, evidently.
She just needs someone who understands what she's going through.
She needs a friend, as all aces do.
As all people do.
There you go.
In that same vein, then, the character that came to my mind, the Doctor.
Oh, God. Oh. Oh, my God. It's another match for the fop.
Yeah, I mean... And then my fop can go be a companion, because fuck you guys.
No, I mean, just simple, straightforward. It seems like the kind of story that, like, the TARDIS crashes into the ship and that's why he's there. And then, oh.
And then the TARDIS isn't working for some reason.
I'm pretty sure actually this has been an episode of Doctor Who, come to think of it.
It probably has. I mean, let's be honest here. Everything's been an episode of Doctor
Very
Who.
Very true. And I am misspeaking. Not all iterations of the Doctor are foppish. Let us not forget Three, who wore a velvet leisure suit and knew how to karate chop. Three's my fucking favorite.
I know, velvet leisure suit and karate chopping. That sounds something a fop would wear and would do.
Oh my god, wait, guys, do you remember what one of the names of the companions was? Ace.
I remember many names of... Ace! She beat up a Dalek with a baseball bat.
Yes, she fucking did.
Yeah, so that was mine.
I like it. Alex, yeah. You're the writer, but you still gotta play the game.
Yes, I do. And I am going to go with Spike Spiegel from Cowboy Bebop.
Nice.
Fair
enough.
Kat, you do not get the...
Not at all. Not at all. Not in the least.
Pip, do you recall any of Cowboy Bebop?
I know what he looks like, and I remember that last frame.
Bang.
Is he another detective?
He's a bounty hunter.
Ooh.
Yes. And he's,
He and the Collector know each other and are rivals.
No, he's more of the kind of guy that would go, oh, hey, and then kind of fiddle with one of the Collector's things and then break it.
He's your more easygoing bounty hunter in as much as...
Bounty hunters can be
easygoing. Is he like Han Solo-ish?
Yeah.
I like how everyone's like,
Try Han Solo if he was really depressed.
Yeah.
Lando?
And also a kung fu expert.
Everyone was kung fu fighting.
Spike Spiegel was ex-mob.
Was he?
Space mob, yeah.
That's what we need in this fucking story. Forget royalty. We need space mob.
That's what the navigator's from.
Yes. Oh my god, she is from a Democratic Republic or something like that. They don't have royalty, they don't believe in royalty, and she is mob. So she's actually just moving the MacGuffin around for shits and giggles. Oh, chaotic neutral.
I feel like the MacGuffin is now the thing underneath the cup. Watch where it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think over the course of the story, it has to change hands.
Several times.
You're thinking of shell games.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's a wrap, everybody.
I agree.
Yeah. All right.
Pip, take us on out.
That was Alex's story, A Body in the Void.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even get into a touch about themes.
No. Keep going. Keep going.
Shit.
Save it for the blog.
As always, if you have a story to submit, head on over to nostoryissacred.com/submission. Follow us on Twitter at nostoryissacred or send us an email through contact@nostoryissacred.com. Your hosts have been Alex MacDonald, Brendan MacDonald, Pippin MacDonald, and Catherine Crichton. Editing for this episode done by Brendan. Transcript done by Ashley DaCosta. Art by Jay Wolf. Show notes and transcripts are available at nostoryissacred.com. Thanks for listening, everyone, and please rate, review, and subscribe to No Story is Sacred. You can also visit our Patreon page to support the show and get neat rewards at patreon.com/nostoryissacred. See you next time when we talk about the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Womp, womp, womp!
Until then, we're No Story is Sacred, and any story can be changed. I'm Pippin.
I'm Alex.
I'm Brendan.
And I'm Kat.
And we're
No Story is Sacred.